إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, this is our eighth session, reading from the classical book of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, and we have been reading the explanation of Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'ah, as he has briefly, yani commented on the text of the final two chapters of this book, Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. And we have already completed the first of the final two chapters, and we began in the last two sessions to discuss the final chapter, dealing with the, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen entitled it in his explanation, Tariqat Ahl Sunnah Al-Amaliyya, the way of Ahl Sunnah in actions. Before we look at the topic for today, which is an extremely beneficial and important topic, that is the fact that the core and essence and foundation of this deen is an-nasiha. And two hadith which Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions related to this topic. The hadith that he alludes to is the well-known topic, ad-deen an-nasiha, and then he mentions two other hadith which are related to the topic, in that they show how Muslims relate with one another with care, concern, compassion, love, mercy, cooperation, support, aid, and so on. And this is very important, especially in the time that we're living in today, that we realize what our responsibility is to one another, what Muslims are responsible for to one another. It's important for us to be aware and conscious of it, and then to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to comply. Before we read from the topic for today, we want to look at some of the topics that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide number 7. The first question is related to the previous topic, the shurut of enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. The first question discussed the six shart, the six condition related to the obligation of enjoining good and forbidding evil, and mentioned the stronger of the two views concerning this matter. The obligation, the six condition that the Shaykh mentions, rahimahullah, of the obligation of enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. Six condition. Anybody remember? Naam, Abdullah.
That which he is enjoining and or forbidding, he must be doing it.
Naam. This is one opinion of the scholars, that the person who's enjoining the good or forbidding the wrong must be in compliance with what they are calling the people to do or forbidding the people from. Naam. Anybody want to add to that? That's the first view that the Shaykh mentioned. Naam. In other words, if a person is not praying, he shouldn't command people to pray. If a person is drinking alcohol, he shouldn't prohibit people from drinking alcohol. That's the first view, that a person has to be in compliance with what they are enjoining or what they are forbidding. Naam, Al-Walid.
The other opinion is the majority opinion and the stronger opinion, the Shaykh says, and that is commanding to do the ma'ruf, doing the good, and prohibiting and forbidding the evil. And regardless of one person is acting upon it, and he is a compliant.
Naam. That it's obligatory upon everyone to enjoin the good and to forbid the wrong, with the other conditions that I mentioned before that, even if they are not in compliance with it, even if they are not fulfilling that command, even if they are not abstaining from that prohibition, it's still obligatory upon you to enjoin the good and forbid the wrong. With the other conditions, in consideration of everything else. Naam. And the Shaykh, Naam, you want to add? Go ahead.
Yeah, and you said that we are obligated or commanded with two things, the two matters, with regards to regards to talking about the enjoining the good, and that is doing it, and that is to tell people to do it.
نعم.
And same thing with the prohibition, we should not do it. There's two matters with it, is that we shouldn't do the prohibition, and we should enjoin that to others and tell them to not do it.
نعم. يعني what he's saying, he's explaining the details of what the Shaykh said concerning this point here, that يعني we are commanded with two things in reference to enjoining good and forbidding the wrong. In reference to enjoining good, we are commanded with two things. One, to do good, and we are also commanded to command others to do good. That's two commands. So if you missed one of them, it doesn't mean the other one goes away. You're still obligated with that. So if you didn't do it, you still have to enjoin upon people, because these are two obligations upon you. And in reference to prohibiting evil, there are two prohibitions that are upon us. One, we are prohibited from engaging in evil, and we are also prohibited from yani failing to prohibit other people from doing evil. That's an obligation, to prohibit other people. So even if you yourself engaged in the evil, so you fell into that, but you are still obligated, you're still obligated to forbid other people from evil. So if a person missed one, they shouldn't miss both of them. And the Shaykh also said that their argument, yani, is based on the ayah in the Quran where Allah mentions to Bani Israel, yani, he criticized them for, yani, for what? For, yani, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسِ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ, yani, do you enjoy good on the people and forget yourselves? He said that the meaning of this, as Imam Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions in his tafsir of the Quran, he said the meaning of this is not that Allah is blaming them for enjoining good. He's not blaming people for enjoining good. This is the obligation. But he's blaming them for, while they know that it's good and they're enjoining people good, they forgot about their own self. They didn't comply with it. He's blaming them for not complying. He's not blaming them for enjoining good. So enjoining good is still an obligation upon you. And in any case, the Shaykh discussed it in some detail. And I also recommend that you go back to the tafsir of Ibn Kathir for this ayat in 2nd Surah Baqarah, ayah 44, to see how Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, explains it. Question number 2 mentioned the second statement of the author, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, in this final chapter. Yani the first statement was what we had discussed the previous week, that the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, along with the previously mentioned principles, they also enjoin the good and forbid the wrong in accordance with what Allah has and what the Sharia requires. So after he said that, then he came with a new statement that we talked about last week. So what is this statement, yani in this the second statement in this final chapter, related to establishing Hajj with the rulers? Establishing Hajj, Naam, Abdul Haq.
They uphold Hajj, Jihad, Jum'ah, and the Eid with the Emirs, with the rulers, whether they are righteous or wicked.
Naam.
And they maintain the congregation.
That's the third statement. These are two statements, yani, second and third. No problem. That they uphold, yani, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that it is obligatory, yani, to establish the Hajj and the Jihad and the Jumu'ah and the, yani, Eid celebrations with the ruler, with the person who's in charge of the Muslims, whether that person, those people are righteous or unrighteous. We still establish these fundamental aspects of the Muslim society and the obligations upon the Muslim with the ruler, no matter what is the condition of the ruler. Question number 3, discuss the two characteristics mentioned here for the rulers and what would be the result of not having rulers. Yani, what are the two characteristics mentioned here related to the rulers in this statement?
They are leaders, people, the Muslim followers and the imams.
The two characteristics in this statement that the brother just mentioned, yani, that the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah say that we established what? The Hajj and the Jihad and the Jumu'ah and the Eid, whether the rulers are righteous or unrighteous. These are the two characteristics that are mentioned for the rulers. They might be righteous, they might be unrighteous. So what about these two characteristics? What do we mean by righteous? What do we mean by unrighteous? What do we mean by righteous and what do we mean by unrighteous? Yani, the text of the statement, the Shaykh, he said, Abraran kanu aw fujaran. What do we mean by Abraran? What do we mean by fujaran? What is the meaning of these words? And the Shaykh explained them in simple, yani, very simple definition. Naam, Khatib.
Meaning that they abide by all the Sunnah and Quran, they obey all the
Something like that. Something like that. But a little more specifically. Yani, because we don't want to, like, they abide by all rulings, they do everything. Nah, not quite, right? Nobody does everything. Now, but that's close. Well, that's the point that he's making. Now.
The barar are the ones who
often
do obedience.
Yeah. Kathir ta'a. Yani, they do a lot of acts of obedience. Not every single act, but they do a lot of acts of obedience. That's what we mean by, yani, abraran. And fujaran?
Fujaran would be the opposite. So they do many acts of disobedience.
People who do a lot of acts of disobedience to Allah. Everybody does some sin, right? But meaning they do a lot. Kathir. Ma'asiyah. Kathir. Yani, the sinner who commits a lot of sins, day and night, all the time. This is what we mean. And then the end of the question is, so what would be the result of not, yani, having leaders, Abu Sa'id?
Differing and chaos.
It will be differing, and there will be chaos. Naam. Chaos, for sure. And there will be a lot of differing. Because we, yani, everybody's going to follow their own self, without a leader. Naam. After this, discuss the obligation of obeying the ruler, no matter how sinful he is, unless his sinfulness reaches the level of what? Unless his sinfulness reaches the what? Level of kufr. And meaning that it's obligatory to follow the leader, the ruler, whoever is in charge of the Muslims, even if they're sinful. Unless their fisq, their disobedience and sinfulness, actually cause them to exit out of Islam, to fall into kufr. To fall into kufr. Otherwise, however sinful they may be, if it didn't make them to become a kafir, then they still required to be obeyed. Discuss the position of the Khawarij related to obedience to the ruler, mentioning the qa'ida that it is based upon. Yani, that their position is based upon. What is their position? And what is the qa'ida, the fundamental that is based upon? Now, Ibrahim.
The Khawarij, they are of the view that the leader shouldn't be obeyed if he's a sinner.
Naam, that the leader should not be obeyed if he's a sinner. And if he's committing sins, then he has no right to be obeyed. We should not obey him. Now, what's the principle that's based upon?
They said that major sins keeps a person out of the religion.
Naam, that committing major sins, the kabira, cause a person to go out of Islam. And a person is no longer Muslim. This is an extremely false principle and dangerous principle. And many of the people are complying or in agreement with this principle without knowing it. Every time a person says, why should we obey the ruler of such and such country? And he's sinful. We know that. He goes to parties. He goes to Europe. He does whatever such. So he's sinful. So that means what? That he's a kafir? Huh? That's the idea behind that. That is what it actually is leading to. Be careful. What is the position of the Rafida concerning the imam that can be followed? Nobody else here? Nobody who didn't speak yet? Tayyid Mustafa, now. They say what?
This is to believe in a club infallible.
Okay, infallible imams. Now, yani?
I believe that there's one of them that's...
now, they believe that no imam, no amir should be obeyed unless he is ma'asum, infallible. And they are, yani, still waiting for the last of their infallible imams to come after 1,000 years. They mentioned three, yani, he was living already on earth, and he's still living somewhere in hiding, and he's going to come out. Mention three of the harms that result from rebellion and disobedience to the Muslim leaders. Three of the harms. Now, Sheikh mentioned three things. One, and what kind of harms? It's obvious that comes from disobedience to the ruler.
Yes.
That's chaos. That's one for sure. It's going to be chaos, right? There's disobedience to the leader. Now,
different opinions.
People are different. Everybody going in different directions. And also, in history, we found too many times, and when the people rebel against the ruler, what happens? They cause al-qital bayn al-muslimin. Muslims fighting one another. Muslims fighting one another. Yani, the people fighting against the ruler and whoever's with him, and the other people fighting against those who oppose him. Inevitably. This is from amongst the, yani, many, many more harms. Many, many more harms. Violations of people's rights, taking of people's wealth, and so on. So many things that will happen. Mention two of the great evils that result from the ruler engaging in munkar. Yani, evil, sinful behavior. Mention two of the great evils that the Shaykh mentioned from the ruler engaging in sinful behavior. Muhammad. Now the people might, they see the rules, they follow him in it, and they begin to take the matter lightly. Somebody else, another. What else? They may follow him in his evil because they see him doing it, so they think nothing of it. But what's the other great evil on the ruler himself?
He might think that it's not important, so he might.
Yani, if he's doing it, he will find it unimportant or insignificant to stop the people who are under his charge from doing it. Yani, how will he think it's important to stop them when he's doing it himself? So that means he will begin to take the matter lightly, and he will not fulfill his responsibility, yani, as the ruler of the people, to stop the people from that which is harming and destroying the society. Discuss the issue of the Jumu'ah prayer behind an imam who is an innovator being valid or invalid. The Jumu'ah prayer behind an imam who is an innovator, yani mubtadi'. Now, Abu Sa'id. Yani, that the prayer, the Juma prayer behind an imam who's sinful, corrupt, or even who is an innovator, is valid, it's correct, it's accepted, as long as his innovation doesn't take him out of Islam. As long as his innovation is not, yani, bid'ah mukaffira, that cause a person to go out of Islam. Memorize the delil from the Quran, 4th Surah 59th Ayat, proving the obligation of obeying the Muslim ruler. Naam, Shuaib. Naam. The meaning of this ayat, somebody? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu? All you who believe. It's addressed to the people who believe. Naam. And what did Allah command? Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. Naam. Be careful though, right? Obey Allah and obey the Messenger and
those in authority.
Allah didn't say and obey those in authority, but it's understood, yes, obedience to them too, but not the same way as obedience to Allah and His Messenger. Atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul. But He didn't say atiyu ulil amri minkum, right? He said obey Allah and obey the Messenger. That means obey those in authority, naam, but subject to their being in compliance with Allah and His Messenger. That they don't command you to do something in disobedience to Allah or in contradictory to what the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned. Anyway, this ayah is a very important ayah, and this point is a very important point that requires its own time. 11, mention a delil from the Sunnah, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, muttafaqun alayh, the hadith from the Sunnah, yani, that proves the obligation of obeying the Muslim ruler. Naam, Ibrahim. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, certainly you will see after me, atharatan wa umuran tunkirunaha. Yani, atharatan, the scholars give a lot of explanation of this word here. The meaning of it is, yani, that there will be rulers who will give preference to themselves over the people. Meaning they will make sure that they get their rights even if the people are deprived of theirs. Yani, atharatan means they give preference to their self. And many affairs that you will reject, that you will find, yani, incorrect. You will find this after the Prophet ﷺ. They said, so what do you command us with, O Messenger of Allah? What should we do when we see that? He said, fulfill their rights. Now, even if they are depriving you, even if they are denying you, even if they are just taking all their rights and they aren't giving you anything, give them their rights. أَدُّ إِلَيْهِمْ حَقَّهُمْ. He commands you to do this. Give them their rights. And what about my rights? Ask Allah for your rights. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. Hadith is muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon as being authentic by al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the final question, yani, was the last line that we mentioned last week and briefly, where he said, وَيُحَافِذُونَ عَلَىٰ الْجَمَاعَاتِ. Yani, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, from the characteristics of Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, is that they what? That they maintain, guard, protect, and preserve the jama'at. So this question is discussed the primary and secondary meaning of this statement. They maintain the jama'at, congregational gathering. What is the meaning? the first obvious meaning, and then the Shaykh also suggested another possible meaning. Who remembers what did he say is the meaning of this? And يحافظون على الجماعات, meaning the five obligatory congregational prayers, that they guard them, they protect them, they are very serious about guarding and protecting them, such that what he said, that when they hear the call to the prayer, they respond to it and they perform the prayer with the Muslims. Yani naam, in the masjid generally, but if there was no masjid, where were the Muslims are congregating? Naam. And the second meaning that the Shaykh said, he said also perhaps included in this statement could be another meaning that is not as obvious. Nobody remembers? Naam, Abdurrahman.
They
come together in agreement, yani without, yani differing with one another. As mentioned in the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ sent who to Yemen? Mu'adh ibn Jabal and Abu Musa? Naam. Radiallahu anhuma, and he told them what? Huh? What did he tell them when he sent them to Yemen? Yassira?
Yassir wa la tu'assir.
Naam. Yani, be easy on the people, don't make hardship on the people, and? Bashir? Bashira wa la tunafira. Yani, give good news to the people and don't run them away. And finally, he said what? Naam, agree with one another. And la wa la takhtalifa. Don't be in disagreement with one another. And these are some of the points that we discussed last week. اللهم استعان طيب لا بس tonight يعني we want to take the next line of this final chapter with Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah يعني after mentioning that with the previous يعني principles that we mentioned in the previous chapter he said وما وهم ما هذه أصول يعني along with these أصول they are what يأمرون بالمعروف وينحن عن المنكر and they also يرون إقامة الحج والجهاد and then he said ويدينون بالنصيحة للأمة ويدينون يعني بالنصيحة بالنصيحة للأمة. Here the Shaykh he says the meaning of this يعني يدينون أي يتعبدون لله عز وجل بالنصيحة للأمة ويعتقدون ذلك دينا. يعني يدينون بالنصيحة للأمة. He said the meaning of it is that they worship Allah Azza wa Jalla by means of offering nasiha to the Ummah. يعني meaning that what? يعني this is to them an act of worship. This is an act of worship. يعني they take it as an act of worship that offering nasiha to the Muslim Ummah, they feel that this is worship. Like the same way when you're making salat, or you fasting in Ramadan, or you giving from your wealth to those who are needy. This nasiha is an act of worship. They worship Allah by it, by this nasiha. And the Shaykh said, and they believe, yani in their heart, يعتقدون, yani their aqidah is that this, giving nasiha to the people, to the ummah, that this is deen. This is deen. This is not just, yani good character. This is not just yani something noble. This is deen. This is deen. يدينون بالنصيحة للأمة. The Shaykh, he says, well, by the way, before that, I just want to add here, Shaykh Salih Fawzan, حفظه الله, may Allah protect and preserve him, in his explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah, he mentions, yani the Shaykh didn't mention, yani normally, yani sometimes, yani the Shaykh, he's, yani mashallah, he has so much to offer, yani he doesn't, can't give it all, right? It's not enough time. So he just picked some things. So he didn't mention here, and it's important for us to mention here, because this is from the manhaj of the scholars of Sunnah, that in an issue like this, and nasiha, and we're talking about nasiha, what is the meaning of nasiha? So Shaykh Salih Fawzan, he said, the meaning of nasiha, lugatan, yani linguistically, is al-khulus, yani purity, something being pure, or sincerity. This is the meaning of it in linguistically, in the language. But the technical meaning شرعاً هي إرادة الخير للمنصوح له وإرشاده إلى مصالحه. يعني that نصيحة, Sheikh Salih Fawzan said, in the Sharia, the meaning of it is إرادة الخير. يعني that a person intends good for the person that they're advising. They intend good for them. They want good for them. إرادة الخير. They're not telling them because they want to belittle them or something like this, make them feel bad. they intend good. Now this is real nasiha. Yani you have to intend good for the person that you are advising. And he said, wa irshaduhum, and the guiding of them to that which is beneficial for them, which what is in their interests. This is nasiha. Okay, so Shaykh Salih Fazal said, so the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they intend khair for the Muslim Ummah, and they guide the Muslims to that which contains within it that which is in the interests of the Muslims. This is what they do, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Okay, so the Shaykh, he says, Shaykh Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, he says that an-nus lil Ummah qad yakun hamil alayhi ghayra ta'abbud lillah. That at giving, yani offering nasiha for the ummah, qad yakun, perhaps could, there could be, yani the thing that motivates a person to do it, alhamil alayhi, might be other than at-ta'abbud lillah. Yani a person might, yani the motivating force in a person that motivates them for nasiha might be other than the worship of Allah. Could be other than that. Maybe that's not what is moving them. That they know this is worship and that's what they intend by it. They might have some other noble aim, but it's not worship. But they don't intend worship. That's what the Shaykh is saying. So he said, perhaps, يعني فقد يكون الحامل عليه الغيرة. يعني that perhaps what might motivate a person to give nasiha is غيرة. يعني that they have what? يعني a sense of respect, self-respect and honor, respect for the deen, respect for the Muslims. So out of that sense of غيرة, the way they feel, and they might advise somebody. And that might be a noble intention, but al-nasiha, yani al-deen al-nasiha, yani that this is our deen, al-nasiha is worship. The Shaykh said, perhaps, that the motivating force for a person might be al-khawf min al-uqubat. That a person might advise someone due to fear of punishment. They might advise somebody, for example, that if you keep doing that, you're going to get punished. So the reason why they're advising is out of fear of punishment. They're not looking at it as this is an act of worship that I'm doing, yani to worship Allah by it. Or perhaps a person قد يكون الحامل عليه أن يتخلق بالأخلاق الفاضلة التي يريد بها نفع المسلمين. That a person might do this in order to characterize themselves, yani to take on the noble characteristics. Like this is a noble thing to advise people with good. This is noble. So a person might do that. يريدون نفع المسلمين. They actually want to benefit the Muslims. But it's different. A person wants to feed a hungry person, not for the sake of Allah, just because that's noble. And if people are hungry, I want to help them. That's different than the person who feeds a hungry person as an act of worship for Allah. It's not the same. So this is an important point that the Shaykh is making here. Why are you giving the nasiha? Are you considering this as an act of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or some other reason that might, yani, be good on the surface, but it's not the real, the core of the matter here. Okay, so yani, may Allah help us to yani understand this. Or the motivating force might be other than that. Yani غير ذلك من الأسباب. There are other things that might motivate a person, that might cause a person to give nasiha, other than that the core reason for the nasiha is that this is an act of worship through which I want to get near to Allah and earn His reward. However, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Shaykh says, they advise the people of the Ummah, ta'atan lillahi ta'ala, wa tadayyunan lahu. Yani they do it in compliance, yani in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as an act of worship, religion. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Tamim ibn Aus, al-Dari, radiyallahu anhu, al-deen al-nasiha, al-deen al-nasiha. And in most of the narrations, he said it three times. In some of the narrations, it said, he said, إِنَّ الدِّينَ النَّصِيحَةِ إِنَّ الدِّينَ النَّصِيحَةِ يعني الدين النصيحة إِنَّ الدِّينَ النَّصِيحَةِ Indeed, the deen is nasiha. And some of them said, إِنَّمَا الدِّينَ النَّصِيحَةِ That verily, the deen is nasiha, and it is only that. That is the core issue, the essence of the deen. It is nasiha. And in some of the narrations, authentically narrated, he said, أَلَا إِنَّ الدِّينَ النَّصِيحَةِ يعني isn't it so? Is it not so that the deen is nasiha? All of these narrations came in the books of Sunnah. yani the last one I mentioned came in the Sahih Ibn Hibban, and the others came in yani Sunan Nasa'i al-Kubra and Mu'jam al-Kabir and other books of Hadith. And the important thing is what? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated this: ad-din al-nasiha, ad-din al-nasiha, ad-din al-nasiha. Why the repetition? Huh? to emphasize this is a serious matter. They understood it was serious. قالوا لمن يا رسول الله. They said to who, O Messenger of Allah. يعني نصيحة to who. قال لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, النصيحة is for Allah and for the Book of Allah and for the Messenger of Allah and for the Imams of the Muslims and for the general masses of the Muslim people. This hadith is reported by Muslim and others, Nasa'i and others. Naam. So the Shaykh, yani this hadith is a study in itself. It's a study in itself. Yani perhaps, yani in another time when we have 4, 5, or 6 weeks, we'll just deal with this hadith alone. Yani as the Shaykh explained it in some other books. Yani in length, in detail, pages and pages and pages and pages. Not like here, he explained it in one half of a page or one page. The Shaykh says, so the nasiha for Allah in brief is صدق الطلب في الوصول إليه. صدق الطلب في الوصول إليه. What does that mean? Arabic students, not from the Arab countries, from the English country. Who knows what is it? صدق الطلب في الوصول إليه. يعني النصيحة لله صدق الطلب. يعني being sincere in the طلب, what you are seeking from Allah في الوصول إليه, in reaching Him, in trying to get near to Allah. يعني being truthful, being sincere in seeking to be near, to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the nasiha for Allah. يعني it doesn't mean giving advice to Allah, it means what? Being sincere in your seeking what is with Allah. يعني what is with Allah, what is it that we are seeking? Al-Jannah. نعم نسأل الله الجنة اللهم إني أسألك الجنة وأعوذ بك من النار. The Shaykh, he said رحمه الله والنصيحة للرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام, and the nasiha for the messenger is صدق الاتباع له. صدق الاتباع له, يعني being truthful in what? In obedience, in compliance, in following, strictly adhering and following the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani we're not going to give advice to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? But what we are going to do is we're going to be sincere in following him. And this particular matter has a lot of discussion. He said this requires that the person defend and protect yani the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. And for this reason he said wali kitabihi, and also yani nasiha for his book, the Book of Allah. And being yani the nasiha for the book, for the Quran, the Shaykh has said, he said it is bi bayan annahu kalamullah. Yani nasiha, being sincere to the Book of Allah, means it is by means of first and foremost clarifying that the Book of Allah, that it is the kalamullah, it's the speech of Allah. And then the Shaykh added to that wa annahu munazzal غير مخلوق, and it is something that has been revealed, sent down, and it's not created. And as Imam Ahmed said, Al-Quran kalamullah laysa bi makhluq. The Quran is the speech of Allah, it's not created. It's not created. The Shaykh said wa annahu yajibu tasdiq khabarihi, and this is also part of the nasiha for the Book of Allah. It is what? That it is obligatory to believe in the truthfulness of whatever we are informed of in the Book of Allah. It's obligatory to believe in the truthfulness of it. وَامْتِثَالُ أَحْكَامِهِ, and that we comply with the ahkam that came in the Book of Allah. Yani we believe in the truthfulness, whatever Allah said in the Quran, but that's not enough. And a person reads the Quran, I believe in everything in it. But compliance though, امْتِثَالُ لِأَحْكَامِهِ, complying with its ahkam, yani whatever Allah has commanded us, whatever Allah has prohibited us, whatever Allah has encouraged us, whatever Allah has discouraged us from, all of that, compliance with it. This means that a person yani is sincere to the Book of Allah. And the Shaykh said وَهُوَ كَذَلِكَ يَعْتَقِدُهُ فِي نَفْسِهِ, and likewise he believes in this, yani what he clarified, that it's the speech of Allah, that is revealed, that it is not created, that it's obligatory to believe in whatever it came with and to comply, he believes this in his heart. Because some people might say they believe something, they say it's true, and they might even act upon it. Because the hypocrites, right, they used to pray and stuff like that, even though the Isha prayer is hard for them, because they want to be sleeping, and the Fajr prayer is hard for them, because they don't want to come out of sleep, right? But they used to come anyway. But the person has to what? Have the aqidah in your heart. And what you're saying, this is the kalamullah, you have to have that in your heart. Yani when you comply with it, you have to be compliant because you believe that this is what Allah has commanded and it's obligatory upon you to comply with it. And that whatever He has commanded is good for you, and whatever He has prohibited is harmful to you. You have to believe that in your heart. This is very important. And the Shaykh mentions in brief here these points, but it's full of benefit. وَأَمَّةُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and also nasiha for the imams of the Muslims. And here the Shaykh defines يعني أئمة, يعني is the plural of what? أئمة is the plural of
Imam.
So كل من ولاه الله أمرا من أمور المسلمين فهو إمام في ذلك الأمر. يعني every person that Allah has placed in charge of any affair from the affairs of the Muslims, that person is an Imam in that particular matter. Whatever it is Allah has placed somebody over, the affairs of the Muslims, high, low, whatever, small, great, important or unimportant, he's an imam in that thing that Allah has made him to be in charge of. So therefore there's imam that is am, like the head of the government, the head of the state, Rais al-Dawla. That's imam am, the general imam over everybody. And there's imam khas, and then there's a yani specific imam, that's imam over something particular, not over everything. So the imam, yani khas, he said, like the amir, and the wazir, and the mudir, and the ra'is, and a'immat al-masajid, wa ghayrihim. So the limited imam, imam khas, special imam, he's like the amir, the governor, or the wazir, the minister in the government, or the ra'is, yani what? Mudir. Mudir, yani mudir is person in charge of something, yani mudir of the school, or of the company, or whatever, yani person who's in charge of some limited area, and he included in this the imams of the masjids. And the imam of the masjid is also imam over the masjid that he's in charge of. And then there are other people who are in charge of things other than them, the Shaykh said. Every person who's in charge of any affair of the Muslims, he is an imam. So this includes, yani nasiha for the imams of the Muslims includes every person that has responsibility or authority over any affair of the affairs of the Muslims. That person is an imam in that area that they have been placed in charge of. And then the Shaykh, he says, yani amatuhum, and he doesn't discuss it in detail. He said the general, yani masses of the Muslims, that means, yani the Muslims in general, these are those who are under the authority or following the leaders. Yani general leaders or specific leaders, whoever is in charge of the Muslims. And then the Shaykh says, وَمِنْ أَعْظَمْ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, يعني مِنْ أَعْظَمْ, from the most important and the greatest of the imams of the Muslims, and there are many imams, right? He just can't finish saying that. But from the most important of them, from the most important of them, he didn't say the most important, but he said from, مِنْ أَعْظَمْ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I'm saying that because I read the translation and I saw that they give a different connotation. That is not correct. They are not the greatest of the imams, but they are from amongst the greatest of the imams. That's important, because the Shaykh, he doesn't use a word yani just by mistake. He said min a'azam, there's a reason why he said that. He could have said a'azam a'immatul muslimin, he didn't say, he said min. And that's very important. It's understood in Arabic clearly what that means. From amongst the greatest of the imams and the Muslims are the ulama, the scholars. And the nasiha for the scholars of the Muslims, it is in, number one, spreading their good deeds, their good qualities, their good characteristics. وَالْكَفْ عَنْ مَسَاوِيهِمْ, and holding back, refraining from, yani mentioning, spreading their faults and errors and mistakes. وَالْحِرْصْ عَلَى إِصَابَتِهِمْ الصَّوَابِ, and being eager, yani to make sure that the scholars, that they hit the mark, that they are correct and whatever they are saying and whatever they are doing. How is that? It is by guiding them. Yani, if they make a mistake, pointing it out to them. In private, not in public. Pointing it out to them to make sure that you don't leave them in their error. The imam made a mistake, the sheikh made a mistake, even the sheikh, he's a human being, I make a mistake. Somebody should point it out. Don't just leave them like that. Point it out to them. Pull them to the side and say, I think perhaps you may have made an error. You know better than me, but maybe you should check this with respect. humility in private, not in public. And unless it's mandatory to do it in public. And make clear to the scholar his mistake in a way that doesn't violate his honor, doesn't violate his honor, and doesn't bring down or lower or decrease his status with the people. Because accusing the scholars in public of making errors in a way that lowers or reduces their station or their status, this is harmful to Islam in general. The scholars' honor should be protected. Their status, their station should be guarded, because they are very important in the Muslim Ummah. If they make a mistake, protect them from being belittled or disgraced or violated. Why is it that correcting them in a way that belittles them, why is this harmful to Islam in general? Because the general masses of the people, if they see the scholars, some of them declaring others to be astray, then all of the scholars fall in their eyesight. And that is because they will say, these people, every one of them, is either refuting someone or being refuted. So either way, whether he's the one publicly refuting somebody or the one being refuted, they are rejecting both of them. So we don't know who is correct. Which one the correct view is with? The one who's refuting or the one who's being refuted? So they end up what? Abandoning all of them. So they don't take from any one of them. And then what does that lead to? Then they take from this guy. I don't want to mention any names today, but there are plenty of names that we can mention, who the people are taking from by the hundreds of thousands instead of taking from scholars. I'm not going to mention any names. Anyway, it's not necessary. But the point is that there are some people shouldn't be listening to them, really. They should not be listening to them because they're saying outlandish things, outrageous, just like Allahu Musta'an, criminal statements. Now, criminal statements. So they don't take from any of them. But if the scholars have respect for one another, then each one of them guides or advises the other in secret when he makes a mistake, and publicly only announces what is correct. But he goes to the person who made a mistake in private and corrects him secretly, and makes known to the people in public what is correct without any saying anything against that person. This is from the greatest of nasiha for the ulama, scholars of the Muslims. Then the Shaykh says, and the Mu'allif, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, his statement, lil ummah, that they worship Allah by means of giving nasihat to the ummah. He said the ummah here represents the imams and the masses of the people. For Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they worship Allah by giving nasihat to the ummah, to all of the ummah. That means the imams and the general masses of the people. And he mentions here that one of the things that the Prophet ﷺ used to take bay'ah from his companions concerning, he said, وَالنُصْحُ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ, yani that you be sincere to for every Muslim, yani the leaders and those who are under their leadership. فَإِذَا قَالَ قَالَ مَا هُوَ الْمِيزَانُ النَّصِيحَةُ لِلْأُمَّةِ. So what if somebody says, so what is the scale by which we can weigh whether or not, or measure whether or not one's nasiha is correct, is sincere, is valid? How can we know? The Shaykh, he says, so the mizan, the scale, it is what is pointed to by the Prophet ﷺ in his statement, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. نعم. No one of you has complete and perfect iman until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Yani, what is the meaning of this hadith that the Shaykh is pointing to? Meaning that a person should always be considering. If you love for your brother what you love for yourself, when you advise somebody, consider that. That you love, to be treated a certain way, treat them the same way. You don't like to be treated a certain way, don't treat them. Love for your brother what you love for yourself. And have respect for the other person that you advise in the same way you would love that people respect you. Even if you erred, you want people to still respect you. You don't want to be violated. So likewise, you have to love for your brother what you love for yourself. The Shaykh says, so if you treat the people like this, with this type of treatment, then this is the complete and perfect nasiha that is yani required here. So before you treat your companion with any type of treatment, fakir, think first. Would I be pleased for a person to treat me like this? With this kind of treatment that I'm getting ready to treat this person with? Would I be pleased with that? So if you will not be pleased with it, then don't treat anyone else like that. This is a large order. But this is the from the sifat of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Yani, it's not just a claim that we just claim and we're waving a flag, we're Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. It's not just a flag that you just have a right to wave, but you gotta do some work. Naam. Okay, this is Naam. This is the end of this point. Yani, then the Shaykh goes on. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentions two hadith. Yani, in line with this, that the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, they worship Allah through giving, yani, nasiha to all the Muslims. Yani, nasiha for Allah, nasiha for the Book of Allah, nasiha, yani, for the Messenger of Allah, nasiha for the leaders of the Muslims and the common masses. So how, in light of this, how are we supposed to treat one another? If we really have Iman, Shaykh al-Islam mentions two hadith. The Shaykh talks about them briefly. And we'll, yani, this will be what we'll cover for today. He says, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah يعتقدون معنى قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم المؤمن للمؤمن كالبنيان. I'm going to leave out the word مرسوس because I didn't find it in any of the narrations of the hadith. It came in a lot of books, but it came in the Quran, yani, المرسوس. But in any case, yani, perhaps the Shaykh is giving, yani, الله أعلم, yani, the meaning of what is intended by bunyan, al-bunyan al-marsus. So, yani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan. Yani, the Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah believe, ya'taqiduna ma'na qawlihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mu'minu lil-mu'min kal-bunyan. Yani, we believe in the meaning of this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the believer is to another believer like a bunyan, a structure. Shaykh said, marsus, meaning solid, cemented, firmly established structure that's built well, not just thrown up any kind of way. He said, this is how the believer is to the believer. يَشُدُّ بَعْدُهُ بَعْدُ. Yani, that each part of it supports and strengthens and reinforces the other part. Each part of it reinforces one another. This is how the believer is to the believer. وَشَبَّكَ بَيْنَ أَصَابِعِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, after saying this, he intertwined his fingers together. And he showed them a demonstration of what he was saying. He gave them this picture of the building, each part of it supporting the other, and then he gave them another demonstration that further enforced and clarified the meaning of what he's saying, yani, in terms of the believers, how they are to one another. So he intertwined his fingers together, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Shaykh Saleh Fawzan said, the meaning of here, al-mu'min al-mu'min khalbunyan, the believer to the believer is like a solid cemented structure. He said, the believer here, al-mu'min, he said it means, what is intended here is al-Iman al-Kamil. Yani, the believer that has complete and perfect Iman. Not every person who is just a Muslim, but the real believer who has Iman, who is worshipping Allah, who is striving to fulfill, yani, the obligations and avoid the prohibitions and whatever Allah has required of us. This is what is intended here. This is how the believer is to the believer. Yani, that believer who has that kind of Iman, that's the way he really is. That's the way we would like to be. May Allah make us like that. And that our Iman is to that point that we actually treat another, that we are to another believer like the parts of a building are to one another, supporting one another, aiding one another, strengthening one another. Like we are one structure. We're not individuals. I. He, she, them. Somebody else, later for them. But me. No. One solid cemented structure. This is a tall order too, brothers and sisters. Yani, we are required to do this. This is real. This is not just academic studies. We have to look at ourselves and try to do better. Because we are not like that. I mean, maybe some of you are like that. But for the most part, we are not like that. Look at the Muslim societies and the Muslim countries in here. Look at how we are with one another. Yani, in the same masjid, in the same city, in the same, yani, people of Ahl Sunnah, claiming the same religion, claiming the same manhaj, maybe in the same family, and we are not together. We are not caring, loving, concerned about one another. We're not compassionate and kind to one another. We're not. And only two, the one that you like. That's my man. Yeah. But the rest of the Muslims, ah. So, I mean, this is something that we have to do better at, and we ask Allah to improve us. Naam. The whole purpose of this is for us to bring it to our forefront, that we actually try to treat another Muslim better. Act like we are part of one another. But that requires effort. You have to really do something. This is not just easy. It's not just kalam. And success is with Allah alone. So the Prophet ﷺ, and I have to move a little bit more quickly. The Prophet ﷺ compared the believer to his believing brother. He compared them, their relation to one another, like a bunyan, a building, الَّذِي يَشُدُّ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا, that every part of it supports the other part. He compared the believer to his believing brother like a building, each part of it supporting one another, حَتَّى يَكُونُ بِنَانْ مُحْكَمًا مُتَمَاسِكًا, يعني مُحْكَمًا, يعني that's well built, holding each other together, مُتَمَاسِكًا, يعني it's holding each other together, huh? Not loosely put together. Each part of it is supporting the other part and strengthening the other part. And then he brought the meaning closer, and he confirmed or reaffirmed the meaning by intertwining or interlacing or interjoining his fingers to one another. Yani to reaffirm this meaning and to make the meaning more clear. Naam. The Shaykh says, so the fingers that are separate, they contain weakness. Separate individual fingers, they contain weakness. Maybe not completely weak, but they contain some weakness. However, when they're intertwined together, then they strengthen and support one another. So a person balls up their fist, right? Make it strong. They become strong by coming together. This is an example of the believers, that when they are together, they're going to be stronger. Separately, there's going to be weakness. Some people more weak than others, but together, everybody is strong. Naam. So, the believer, to another believer, is like a solid, cemented structure, supporting, each part of it supporting one another. And this building, yani, is holding itself together. And likewise, the believer with his brother, if it occurred in his brother some naqs, some defect, so he completes it. He helps him to fix it, to complete it and to perfect it, to remove the defect. فَهُوَ مِرَعَاتْ أَخِيهِ. So he is like a mirror, the mirror of his brother. إِذَا وَجَدَ فِيهِ نَقْسِ كَمَّلَهُ. So if he finds يعني some defect in his brother, he completes it, he fixes it. يعني he puts it back together. And here the Shaykh is referring to a hadith, and in a lot of narration of this hadith, Shaykh al-Albani said in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that this hadith, there's a narration like this, and there are other narrations, different wording, that is Hassan. Al-Mu'minu mir'atu akhihi. Yani that's the way he came in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The believer is the mirror to his brother. إِذَا رَأَى فِيهِ عَيْبًا أَصْلَحَهُ. That if he sees in his brother, and means sister too, some defect, some fault, some shortcoming, he fixes it. She fixes it. This is the hadith. Shaykh al-Bani said in Adab al-Mufrad, it's Hassan. And there are other narrations that yani have the same meaning like this. Shaykh is referring to this. This is how the believer is to the believer. If his brother is in need of something, he helps him. If he is sick, he visits him. And this is the way it is in all affairs. So the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they believe, يَعْتَقِدُونَ هَذَا الْمَعْنَى وَيُطَبِّقُونَهُ عَمَلًا. The Shaykh, he always brings us back to this, every time. We can't escape from it. So the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they believe in this meaning that's contained in this hadith. They believe it in their hearts. يعني اعتقاداً. But they also, they act upon it. They act upon it. They practice it. Naam. يُطَبِّقُونَهُ. They apply it in their lives. عَمَلًا. In real action. Then the Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentions second hadith. And this is the end of what we have for today. And these are the points that we're going to cover today, and hopefully, inshallah, we memorize them a couple of lines at a time. And it is only just a couple of lines every week. وَقَوْلُهُ يعني, and they also believe in the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادِّهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ كَمَثَلُ الْجَسَدِ إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُدْوٌ تَدَعَى لَهُ سَعْرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالْحُمَّ وَالسَّهْرُ. And the wording here is that most of the narrations came as sahar wal humma, but some of them did come humma wa sahar, so it's okay either way. And some of the words, some of the narrations came kamathal, and some of them didn't come mathal, mathal al-jasal al-wahid, and so there's some various narrations, alhamdulillah, they are authentic. It's reported in Bukhari and Muslim, and in the way that we gave it in the paper for memorization, it's reported in Bukhari and Muslim with that wording. يعني مثل المؤمنين في تواضعهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم. يعني the example of the believers. And again, we're saying what we mean by iman here. Sheikh Salih Fawzan said, we mean by iman here, we say iman al-iman al-kamil. يعني the believers who really have true iman, complete and perfect iman, then they are to one another in their يعني love for one another. يعني محبة, in the love that is between them, mutual. تواضعهم وتراحمهم, and in their rahmah that they exchange and share with one another. It's mutual between them, the rahmah. وتعاطفهم, يعني that they also hold in their hearts, يعني an affection, compassion, sympathy for one another. This is how the believers are to one another when they have real iman. They have sympathy for one another. They have compassion for one another. It's not like if you see him laying in the street, you step over him. Just step over him and leave him there. You see a person in need, you don't care. It's not, that's your problem. What's wrong? Get up and get a job. And if there's compassion, there's love for one another, there's rahmah, and there's compassion for one another. This is how the believers are to one another, such that they are like one body. The Prophet ﷺ said, such that they are like one body. إذا اشتكى, يعني if one part of it, اشتكى mean تعلم, يعني is feeling some pain, if one member, عدوان, from the body is feeling some pain, تدعى له سعر الجسد, then the rest of the members of the body, the whole body, شارك في العلم. يعني تدعى له means that they share, the rest of the members of the body share that pain. That one member is feeling pain, the whole body shares in feeling that pain. يعني by what? بهما and سهر. يعني by fever. يعني by what? Due to the pain, the body temperature rises. High temperature, fever. The whole body is experiencing the fever. The whole body is experiencing سهر. يعني عدم النوم. The whole body is experiencing that. يعني some part of the body is taking, the whole body is not, nobody, this is one body, right? You can't say, let my head sleep, or my legs sleep. Nobody, you're not sleeping. The whole body, it's one body. And this is a tremendous picture the Prophet ﷺ gave here. Wallahi, if you think about it, the believers are like a body. If one part of the body is suffering, the whole body is suffering. Naam. You can have some small part of your body not functioning right, in pain, whatever. You're feeling it. The whole thing. Everything is messed up now. You can't really think straight. Not only you can't sleep, you can't hardly do anything. Might not even enjoy your food when you eat. Okay, so the Shaykh, in the explanation briefly of this particular hadith, the Shaykh says, the saying here, قَوْلُهُ, يعني, in this statement he said, وَقَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He's saying that this is also part of what was mentioned previously, يعني that the Ahlul Sunnah believe in the meaning of the saying of the Prophet in the first hadith, same thing in this second hadith. And here he said, يعني تواض, تواضهم, he said it means mawadda, yani that they love one another. And تراحمهم, it means rahma, that they have mercy for one another. And تعاطفهم, it means عطف, yani that they have compassion and sympathy for one another. And they are like one body, الجسد الواحد, meaning that they are يشتركون في الآمال والآلام, meaning the hopes and the pains. Yani the hopes for good, they share in it. And the pain and suffering, they share in it with one another. This is how the believers are. They're sharing in this. So they have mercy upon one another, and if one of them is in need, he tries to remove his need. And they have compassion for one another. such yani with lean and rifq, yani meaning that they're dealing with one another is with gentleness and kindness and easiness. And other than this, this is how they deal with one another. They have love and compassion for one another to the extent, yani the love for one another. The Shaykh says, if one from amongst them sees in his heart that there is some hatred for another one of his Muslim brothers, if this is not a tall order, I don't know what is. If one of these people who have this kind of iman, if he sees, he recognizes in his heart he has some hatred for another Muslim brother, sister, for another Muslim sister, he tries to remove it. He doesn't just leave it there and rejoice in it, but he tries to remove it. He feels this is unacceptable. Tries to remove it. So he tries to remember, tries to mention, tries to call to mind some of the good of that person, due to which it will remove the hatred from his heart. Look how the Shaykh has given us a remedy for the sicknesses of our hearts. And you have hatred for another Muslim, try to get it out of your heart. That's not good to have. So the body is one body. If one member of it complains of pain, even if it's the smallest member of the body, the rest of the body shares in it. And if, yani, for example, your pinky, smallest finger, yani, if it has some pain, the rest of the body's, yani, all of the, even though it's the smallest member, the rest of the body, all of it feels pain. And if your ear experiences some pain, the rest of the body, all of the body feels the pain. And if your eye experiences some pain, the rest of the body experiences the pain. And other than that, the Shaykh says, and then he closed by saying, and this example that the Prophet ﷺ has made for us is like a picture that gives us a it's like a picture, and like he's drawing a picture of the meaning of what he wants to express to us, and it is also something that brings us nearer to understanding what is intended here. Yani this kind of picture of the believers being like a solid cemented structure, or the believers being like one body, or joining the fingers together. These are images that the Prophet ﷺ is yani, using to make us to understand this idea, yani, this principle, this characteristic of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah that we should be exemplifying. And Sheikh Salih Fawzan says in his explanation, this is a hadith that is khabarun ma'anahu al-amr. This is important. Huh? Then I'm close with this line. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafizullah, he said, this hadith is a khabar, is information. The Prophet is telling us something, but the meaning of it is al-amr. That is the command. He's not just telling us this like this. No, he's commanding us, this is what we have to do. This is what you have to do. Just as, yani, if a part of the body feels some pain, the pain spreads through the whole of his body. So likewise, the believers, they must be like one soul, one person. If any one of them is afflicted with a musibah, all of them, all of the believers, they feel suffering, pain, grief, sorrow from the suffering of any member. And then they, يَعْمَلُونَ عَلَى إِزَالَتِهَا. Yani they work towards removing it. How many of us, we know people are suffering, they're in difficulty and hardship, and we don't make any effort whatsoever. And it's not my business, that's their problem. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك